very much. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is the UDRP call, the 26th of April. And on the line, we have Carlos Aguirre, David Taylor, Christina Rosette, Philip Shepherd. For staff, we have Margie Milam, Khaled Rashid, and myself, Glenda Century. We have apologies from Wendy Salsa. And are there any other apologies, perhaps?
I think Mary Wong indicated she had a class.
And Mary Wong. Thank you very much. Over to you, Margie.
Thank you, Glenn. Good morning, everybody. I thought we could get started by just giving you an update of where we are on the webinar and the questionnaire. If you are in Adobe Connect, I have some information posted in Adobe Connect. Last week, thanks to all of you, we finalized the questionnaire, and it was sent out to the providers Thursday around noon. I also, prior to that, sent a heads up to each of the providers to let them know about the questionnaire and the webinar and to invite them to suggest someone within their organization to participate. And I also asked for recommended speakers. The good news is that they all responded favorably. All of the providers will participate in the webinar, and they are all eager to provide information. They indicated that they would participate in the questionnaire as well. Last week, I also sent an announcement that's been published on the ICANN website. So if you're in the Adobe Connect, you can see the link to the announcement for the webinar. So we've got it set for May 10th. And as I indicated, we will have someone from each of the providers presenting. My email also asks that they provide recommendations for speakers. And several of them indicated that due to the Easter holidays that they would not be likely to provide information by today's call. But I do expect some more information from them as the days, sometime this week. They are all familiar with the time frame that we're looking for. So if you look at the Adobe Connect room, there are some speakers that have been suggested, and I'll just walk through them and you guys can see what you think. Dennis Kai of the Hong Kong Arbitration Center suggested for UDRP panelists two gentlemen, one named Christopher Toh, T-O, and the other one, Anthony Wu. And then for attorneys, he suggested Ms. Gabriella Kennedy, who represents complainants. And those were his suggestions. And then Christine Dorian from the National Arbitration Forum suggested Paul McGrady. I think the name is Paul McGrady. Andy Coombs and David Steele. And then for someone that represents complainants, she suggested Renee Reuter and also suggested John Berryhill. And then Mary, in an email to us on the drafting team, suggested two academic speakers, Michael Frumkin and Michael, he's in Miami, and then another guy named Michael Geist from Ottawa. So that's where we are at this point. Anyone like to comment on any of the speakers or any of the information so far?
This is Christina. I would actually suggest that with regard to speakers, we wait until, in terms of the identifying the folks who've represented complainants and respondents, that we wait until we hear from WIPO and CAC, because it may be that once we get that information, the decision will be made for us, simply because if three of the four providers have identified the same person, then it would seem to make sense that that would be somebody we would pick.
Any other comments?
Philip, I mean, that sounds very sensible. Any question is, the two academic speakers suggested, do they not both have the same viewpoint historically?
honestly, I don't know these gentlemen. Do any of you on the call know Michael Frumkin or Michael Geist from Ottawa?
No, I don't know them. This is Khalil.
Yeah, this is David. Yeah, I do know them. I'd say that they're probably similar viewpoints. So I don't know, we could maybe get something a bit, somebody else, I don't know. But I don't know how many people study the UDRP and, you know, and look at it as a sort of, well, I don't know, there's been the studies, haven't there, Christine? And there's been some studies in the last few years, wasn't there? I can't remember which the name of it, the Max Planck study and things like that. So I mean, we can probably get some other people, if
right.
anything.
I mean, I'm familiar with the names, and they do have the same perspective. My only question, and I, you know, I don't know if this is something Mary can provide. I mean, I remember reading their early studies when the UDRP first came out. I was not aware that they were still active in this area. I think we probably need to make sure that, you know, regardless of the viewpoint, and if there are going to be folks with a viewpoint from an academic perspective, then we do need to make sure that multiple viewpoints are adequately represented. But I also think it's really important that we have somebody who's been searching, you know, studying this recently.
So this is
yeah,
John.
And in that regard, hasn't WIPO, the various WIPO reports and things they've done, haven't they engaged academics in the past as well to do their reports?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's see what they haven't made any suggestions yet. So they come up with, but they, I think you're right. I mean, somebody who has recently studied this is going to be useful. And I think we may get some people like that suggested by WIPO.
I have John in the queue as well. John, do you want to comment?
Sure. Christina's point about Frumkin and Geist is a good one from two perspectives. One, the time is going to be short enough that we don't need to have two people saying the same thing. The corollary to that is, are any of the people, I mean, I know of all the people listed here, I know John Berryhill best. I've seen him perform many times, and I'm sure his participation will be entertaining. But do others on this list that you put together come with preloaded points of view, which would make their participation more advocacy than insight? And if we're going to go with academics that perhaps have studied it but certainly have been on the outside looking in, maybe we should think about the possibility of a registry and a registrar offering their point of view as to how UDRP plays out.
This is Khalil jumping in. Margie, were you going to say something?
I'm sorry, I have David in the queue, and then I'll put you, Khalil, after.
Okay.
It's okay, if you're responding to John, go ahead, Khalil. No problem. I've got another
point. So I kind of had a response to that. Since doing some of the UDRP compliance work, I've not met any of the complainants, counsel, or panelists named who we're considering that do not have a particular viewpoint that they all advocate. So I think that's kind of to be expected. Maybe with the exception of the academics. So, and I also think that to Christina's point, you mentioned that something that to the effect of WIPO and NAF, we should see who they named because we may end up with the same people. Could you explain that a little bit more? I don't think I quite got that.
Well, sure. My point is that it's my experience, at least, that the pool of folks who represent complainants and respondents is certainly smaller than it's a relatively small number. And when I say that, I mean like maybe 1,500, 2,000 people, probably maybe
okay.
a little higher.
Sure.
And I would suspect that in some cases you will see that the frequent filers with NAF may in fact be the frequent filers with WIPO. And conversely, that the folks who most frequently represent respondents in front of WIPO also most frequently represent respondents before NAF or CAC. And so in that case, if it turns out that WIPO, NAF, CAC, or, you know, some variation of the four providers, that there are one or two folks whose names are put forward multiple times, then that, I think, makes our decision a little easier. You know, for example, if WIPO says, well, Don Berryhill most frequently represents respondents, and I don't, I'm not picking on John. I just think that that may in fact be the case. And CAC says the same. Well, to me, then it's kind of a no-brainer. Then John Berryhill is the person that we invite to speak from that perspective, because if three of the four providers have named him, there's really no value, I think, in our trying to make an independent decision.
Mm. One challenge there I see is that sometimes providers may not be particularly keen on a person who represents respondents and may not name that person for that reason.
But we're not asking them to recommend somebody. Didn't we ask them to identify who most frequently represents respondents?
I don't know if that was that clear. You want to see the email? I'll pull it up. I think I just asked for a recommendation.
Well, in that case, I think we need to make clear that we're talking about from a quantitative perspective, because I would not want the point or the concern that Khalil is raising to interfere with this. In other words, I don't think it's appropriate for the providers to making value judgments about who we want. I think we were all clear that we wanted to know who represents them most frequently. Yeah.
Okay, I can clarify that if you guys think it's important to clarify it while we're waiting for their responses. Let me just pull up what I did say so you know what I said. In the meantime, David, you had a comment?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was now. I've forgotten. It was just on the NAF response. I think it was the NAF. No, the Hong Kong. Who did they? It's gone now, so I can't remember.
I'll pull it back up, sorry.
I haven't mentioned. Let's look at the email, then go on. Fine.
Okay. So what did I say? You guys can scan through. I won't read the whole thing, but I did say the remainder of the webinar would be focused on soliciting observations from other stakeholders with expertise in the EDRP. In this regard, we'd like to solicit recommendations from you from additional speakers for the webinar. Specifically, we are seeking recommendations for one or two individuals from the following categories. And so that's all I said. Then I said UDRP panelists, attorneys, probably one that represents complainants, one that regularly represents respondents, complainants and respondents. So I didn't put a quantitative requirement on it. So I guess my question to the group is, would you like me to clarify that as I go back to them, since I haven't received complete responses from everybody?
I mean, this is Christina. I would think so, simply because it eliminates any subjectivity or concerns that the providers have been manipulating who speaks.
Okay.
And does anybody disagree? I mean, I'm, obviously not what I say goes. I wish it was, but it's not.
This is Khalil. I think you have a pretty balanced viewpoint with McGrady and Berryhill myself, but I don't think it could, so I think from this current group you have, it looks pretty even to me, but I think it's kind of up to you. I wouldn't want to complicate your work, particularly if it's already seems to be somewhat well represented.
Yeah, Philip, I mean, my only feeling is at the moment, because we haven't got anything from WIPO, we're missing any European nominations, which will help, I think, just in terms of balance. I think, as you said earlier, we need to see who they will be nominating to see if we have a little more geographical balance, as clearly it's no surprise that we've got mostly Asian and North American-based names at the moment.
John, you're in the queue?
Yeah. I guess I feel as if I'm getting caught in some undertow that I don't see. Why does it seem that it's generally accepted that the providers would have a bias for or against a respondent's counsel? I mean, why do they care who the counsel is?
John, this is Christina. I don't know that they do, but given that Khalil raised it as a possible issue, I'd like to make sure that we do everything we can to make sure it isn't one.
No, I agree. It makes me think that maybe we should be stage managing this webinar a little bit more on a more granular level than we are. Certainly we should collect the names as they surface, but I think we probably should be more respectful of the public persona that each of the prospective panelists would represent.
Well, was someone else in the queue? Margie, this is Khalil.
No one else. You can go ahead.
Well, I think one reason that providers may not appear so keen on certain respondents' counsel is that respondents appear before UDRP providers not at their own choosing. And to that effect, sometimes respondents' counsel may not cooperate with UDRP providers in a way that they feel they should. And sometimes they have reasons for not doing so, which do not necessarily violate the UDRP, even though they may make the panelist and provider's job somewhat harder. And that has tended to maybe not engender the best relationships sometimes between respondents' counsel and providers. So that providers may be more keen to highlight those who they feel are more in line with the way they see things as opposed to the way things are, or those who are most representative of respondents.
That sounds like a problem we could solve by tripling the number of organizations that handle UDRP, make it a bit more competitive, so it doesn't seem to be quite the annuity that it's become. A conversation for another day.
But getting back to Margie's question, does anybody have any objection to her following up with the providers to just clarify that when we're asking for recommendations of attorneys who have represented complainants and those who've represented respondents, that it is our expectation that the names that they put forward are those who appear before them most frequently, who file or represent before them most frequently?
I do not object.
Fine with me.
No objection either.
Sounds good.
Okay, sounds like there's no objection there. I will send a follow-up note to all of them clarifying that. Now, the only other things that aren't included in this list, to get back to John Berard's point, is having someone represent registrars, and I just didn't ask the UDRP providers for, registrar contacts, figuring we have contacts, that may not be, they don't need to help us with that. But my question, I guess, to the group is how do you all we invite or decide which registrar to invite as a speaker, because we did talk last time about including a registrar. David, you have a comment?
It wasn't about that, but I was going to say, I was supposed to be strictly fair. We should send an email to every registrar then, shouldn't we? Sorry, I'm jerking a little bit on that.
Or to send it to leadership of the registrar stakeholder group.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do it, just send a note to Mason.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
what's the proposed running time for the seminar, the webinar?
It's a 2-hour webinar, and so we have a lot of speakers. In my email, I noted that they would be speaking, and this is the UDRP providers, about 5 minutes. It's a very short amount of time because of the number of speakers that we have.
And how much time, how many registrars do we want, and how much time are we going to give them? And do we want to, and I guess then the third question I would have, and I apologize because I don't have a Joby, so I should just be quiet. But Margie, put me in the queue.
No, it's fine. Go ahead, Christina.
Well, I mean, and I guess the other thing is are there any criteria to our request? For example, I'm sure everybody on this call is aware of the breach notice that went to EuroDNS recently regarding UDRP compliance, and you're probably also equally aware of how EuroDNS has responded to that. I'm not sure while interesting, I'm not sure it would be particularly productive, for example, if the registrar stakeholder group came back and said, we want EuroDNS to be our registrar participant.
Any comments to Christina's comment? Or David, I think, are you still in the queue?
Yeah, I'm still in the queue, but anyone comment on Christina?
Well, this is John. I'm not aware of the specifics, so it's, is EuroDNS throwing a fit?
I think it would probably be most accurate to characterize that they're objecting to the breach notice. Obviously, Khalil can respond to that if you want.
Yeah, I think at this time it's probably better that I don't, but our breach letter is posted on our website, and their response is available all over the Internet. And essentially they're saying that they cannot implement the decision as a party unrelated to the UDRP administrative proceeding objected to it in a Luxembourg court, and they received a summons, and to that effect, they are unable to implement the decision. So that is under review here.
But my bigger point is, I don't know that it makes, for example, I think we need to make sure that, like I said, although I think it would be interesting and lively, I don't know that having a situation in which the registrar stakeholder group puts forward EuroDNS as their registrar participant would...
Yeah, I actually think it would be completely unproductive myself.
Right,
but,
right.
I
think, I don't think that facilitates what we're looking for. I mean, maybe what we want to do is say, we want to know, we're looking for a registrar to participate in this webinar because of the implementation obligations that registrars have, and do we want to, please recommend two or three. We're looking for the registrars that have most frequently been the registrars of record for disputed domain names. I mean, if we say that, it's basically going to be GoDaddy, maybe. I don't know.
I've got Philip in the queue and David in the queue.
Thanks. I just wonder if we're losing sight a little bit of the objective of the webinar. I mean, I would, if we're only batting at an hour, 5 minutes of speakers, sounds like 12 speakers with no opportunity for dialogue. I just wonder if we're probably trying to pack too much into what is supposed to be a slightly less ambitious project in which we had originally identified those people who are the ones who dialogue during a UDRP. I just wonder if we're not better leaving it to that. And getting these other perspectives in due course, but not at this webinar itself.
David here, I'd probably agree with that, because I think one of the reasons we went after the providers was they'd have the statistics of, the registrar compliance and those issues and the number of times they come across issues. So hopefully that would be part of their presentations to an extent, highlighting the issues which they have seen across many registrars. So that might be a way of covering that same point rather than having one specific registrar speaking on behalf of the 900 registrars, which would be quite difficult.
So it sounds like I should, where we're headed is contacting the leadership of the registrar stakeholder group and asking for several names. Ones that frequently, appear and or are involved in domain name disputes under the UDRP, and then we will come back and decide of those names which ones to include. Is that correct, or it looks like Philip, you disagree with that?
Yeah, I think you're contradicting directly what I said. Perhaps I wasn't clear enough. I'm saying that in an hour's webinar, I think we should concentrate on getting a good breadth of speakers from the categories we've identified, and specifically do not invite anybody else, including registrars.
Oh, and Philip, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. It's 2 hours, and I believe on the last call the group felt it was important to have registrar participation. So that's why I guess I'm contradicting it. Is the viewpoint of the group changed that there shouldn't be registrars?
I'd just question it based on what I said before. I mean, I don't think if everyone thinks it's okay and we can find somebody who's representative,
then, you know, why not? But I'm expressed concern as to how we can find a representative registrar.
Yeah, I believe it was Jeff Newman on the last call that thought that it was important to have the perspective of a registrar on the panel. And I, from a staff perspective, I would agree with that, just because it looks like we're, you know, excluding an important viewpoint in the group, even though, you know, you will get some data from the UDRP providers.
Okay, well, I'm okay for it then, especially if we have got 2 hours, then, you know, having one person from a registrar coming up, and hopefully if we've got the information prior to the registrar, they may be able to address some of the concerns which providers put forward as being issues with other, assumingly not the registrar talking, which covers Christina's point, perhaps. I've got a couple of queries, which is why I'd raised my hand. Do you want me to fire them out now, or do you want to finish this?
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah. That first question was just on the Hong Kong arbitration forum. They'd only put forward one attorney, so they haven't put forward somebody for a respondent. Do we need to go back to them on that, or is it just, did they just not reply at all on that bit?
You know, I did it more as, you know, if they want to provide a recommendation, they can. I didn't require them to do it, so I guess they felt that, you know, they didn't feel like answering that question or didn't have enough.
That's fine. And then I just got on that point, which sort of talking about even panelists coming from, you know, WIPO, that we might have more Europeans. We may or may not, but there's obviously a lot of U.S. panelists within WIPO, and I was just looking at their, you know, the most frequently appointed panelists, and three out of the top four are all American. So we may not get the diversity which we want because we haven't specified to WIPO to provide European or Asian or anything like that panelists. So we'll see maybe who they come up with. But I was just agreeing certainly to wait for WIPO and CSC to come through with that. And one very minor point is you spelt Eric Wilber's name wrong. So it's with a K and you've got ERS at the end.
Thank you. I did the spell. I got it right in the email. But
no problem.
Okay, so I guess I'm hearing that we're going to wait until we receive more information. I will send a follow-up note to the providers asking for individuals that appear most frequently in these categories. And I will reach out to the registrar stakeholder group for suggestions. Does that sound correct?
Margie, it's Christina.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. I think maybe what we need to make clear when we reach out to the registrar stakeholder group is that what we're looking for is a registrar that can speak on a representative capacity. In other words, not necessarily, not to pick on them, but GoDaddy speaking as GoDaddy. This is our experience. But if they, you know, if they have somebody from GoDaddy speaking, have it be in more of a, you know, these are the issues that registrars face with regard to the UDRP, or these are the changes that registrars would like to see. Because what we're really looking for is what are the issues that registrars are facing, right? So in that case, I think it makes more sense to make sure that whoever it is that is speaking from that stakeholder group is speaking so in a representative capacity and not on an individual company capacity.
Okay, so what you're saying, though, is it would be one person then, because I don't know, you know, are they going to pick three people to be representative of the registrar stakeholder group?
Well, I think, you know, invite them to put forward as many as three names, but that, you know, in all likelihood, we're only going to have time for one, and that whoever it is that's speaking should be speaking in a representative capacity.
Okay.
Philippine, I think that probably means that we're expecting them to do some internal outreach before they get to the webinar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is certainly not the last time they'll be consulted. If
no.
if we have a session in Singapore, and I'm planning to set up a session in Singapore, I'll have more time for, you know, again, some of these viewpoints to share their concerns.
Can you put me in the queue, Marty?
Yes, go ahead, Christina.
And Khalil, I don't know if you're still on the line, but I would think maybe that compliance has a general notion of, you know, these are the issues that, you know, from our perspective, that registrars have had in terms of UDRP implementation. Because wasn't there a UDRP session in, was it in Paris?
There was a UDRP, yes, there was.
For the registrars, so, you know, maybe Margie to note that if the registrar stakeholder group would prefer that, you know, we could have somebody from compliance speak, just picking up on some of the issues that had been identified in that workshop. I don't, you know, not to volunteer more work for Khalil, but they may prefer that.
No, so no, I'm happy to help whatever I can, but let me understand clearly that what is it that you think that the registrars might prefer compliance?
Well, the registrars might say, you know, we're not going to get into this having GoDaddy speak on behalf of all registrars, or, you know, TwoCow speak on behalf of all registrars, or MarkMonitor speak on behalf of all registrars. It's just going to be easier for us. You know, compliance is aware that, you know, when there are issues that become compliance issues, compliance knows what they are, so we think it makes more sense for them to talk about it.
So my sort of response to that is I'm happy to highlight what some of what issues that we've noticed are, but I have never known registrars not to take an opportunity to sort of advocate their perspectives. So
well,
I'm pretty
that might be.
So I'm pretty sure they would probably rather speak about registrar UDRP issues than have the compliance department. I can't speak about it, particularly in light of Euro DNS type things and
right. Those
sorts. So, but if you believe that we have some value we could add, we'd be more happy to help.
Well, what does everybody think about that? I mean, does it make sense if we're going to have the registrars do it, speak, to have somebody from compliance speak?
I would have thought both, no?
Yes, agree. Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was David.
my only concern, and I know Khalil has a tremendous amount of information, is we've got a two-hour webinar. You know, and yes, we can add another, you know, 5 minutes. You know, should we consider having it be longer? Is 5 minutes enough to cover, you know, the kinds of things that we need for this initial purpose?
Well, Margie, I understand that. And you know, as you try and nail these things down, you know, it keeps one more thing until it's a week out and you're still trying to fit things in. If it's helpful, what I can do is, you know, comprise or put together a list of common issues and give that to you, or make myself available there. If timing or that sort of thing or scheduling is an issue, or, you know, maybe it's not best put because people will sort of be off put if compliance is involved directly with the policy aspect, then I'm happy to go about it some other way, even if it's just giving you a list of the common issues, and then you can read them off as common issues.
Khalil, it's Margie. No, I don't have that concern. I think it's useful to have the policy perspective, the compliance perspective in the policy world. I'm just wondering, you know, I guess I have to look through the if we have sufficient amount of time, you know, and you feel that you could cover it in 5 minutes, because it seems like your topic, you know, could easily be 20 minutes, half hour, but that defeats the whole, you know.
Right. It does open another can of worms. I mean, my experience in the past, which I'm happy to speak and appear before whomever, but is that once that you go down that path of compliance, you get all sorts of issues and hands go up in the room and what about this, what not about that, that kind of thing, you know, so I am sensitive to that as well. If you limit the compliance perspective to 5 minutes, sometimes you're even accused of maybe not being fair or not giving a full opportunity to examine the facts, that kind of thing. So I'm open, you know, to whichever way you want to do it, but that is a consideration to take into account.
What do you guys think about the timing issue with compliance at being one of the speakers? Christina or David or Philip, anyone?
David here. It's a hard one. I mean, I don't have an issue with it going over a little bit and running a little bit longer, but you know, obviously once we get to 2 hours, it does end up sort of pretty much at the limit. But it's a difficult one.
Right, and this is Christina. I mean, I certainly agree, and I don't want to create more work for anyone. But, you know, and this is, I guess, coming back to a point that John made that has just kind of been bothering me, is that, call me naive, but it was not my expectation that this would just turn into one big 2 hours worth of advocacy with everybody advocating past each other.
Okay, Christina, you're naive.
So you believe maybe the scope is going beyond what was initially intended?
No. I mean, I guess what I'm concerned about is that, and I think it's within our control in terms of communicating to whoever it is that speaks, that you know, we're not looking for, this is not supposed to be an advocacy presentation. That we are looking for kind of factual, experiential information.
Right.
Felipe, yes, I agree. I think exactly with that. On timing, I would certainly not go beyond 2 hours. That would mean 1900 hours finishing at in Central European time. And I think you will lose audience if you extend it, which would be a shame. And I agree. We're attempting to be analytical and to air issues of experience and learning. And we're not looking for advocacy. We're not looking for opinion. We're looking for expertise and fact. And I think that should be part of perhaps a little briefing statement that we give to all our chosen speakers when we actually start allotting it.
Philip, it's Margie. Yeah, we can certainly provide information to the speakers. And just to remember, this is meant to help identify issues for the issues report that I'm drafting.
Yeah,
and I had already contacted Khalil to get you know, some content from him to include in the issue report. I mean, so you know, this is a you know exercise for you know to help write the report. And if we do something in Singapore, you know, maybe that's you know where a compliance piece might be useful. But that's you know, I was looking at it more as informational from people that I don't have easy access to. So that was kind of my thinking, and not including compliance. Although obviously his perspective and the perspective of the department is you know critical to the issue.
If I could jump in here, Marge, I think if that is the point, then particularly for the webinar, then maybe it's best not to include compliance and have everyone else speak, because you can always, as well as the rest of this group, have our perspective readily available. Then maybe in a more public forum or open forum, such as Singapore, we could speak to the issue if people feel it's necessary then.
That would probably be fine too, Philip, here again. And I'm just thinking through about the potential names that are in front of us. I mean, if we are looking for analysis and fact of experience, we might do better with somebody from compliance than the two names we currently have as academic speakers who will be bursting full of opinion, if I know them from of old. So we might just need to think through that, or see if we have some alternative academic speakers that come out from the other providers.
Any other comments on the compliance involvement?
This is Christina. I have a slight preference for it, simply to, you know, if we're going for balance in terms of complainants and respondents and, you know, academics from both perspectives and registrars and the counterweight, it would seem to be to you know, the balance of that would be compliance. Having said that, I'll defer to the opinion of the group, and I actually, with apologies, have to jump off because I have another call.
Okay, thanks, Christina.
And David here, I'd certainly agree. I mean, if we can have somebody from compliance, that's good to do a short factual presentation, and it would just be factual, which is what we're searching for.
And factual with respect to the issues that we've noticed that sort of surface repeatedly in terms of UDRP compliance?
Yep, exactly, which you know, it's a viewpoint from ICANN as well as a viewpoint from the providers, because I'm assuming that the providers may not necessarily be in agreement with everything on the compliance side, but maybe they are, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, well, since I know, David, you have to leave early as well, what I'll do is I'll put down tentative compliance perspective. I will. How about I send an email to the list, just informing them of the fact that we're still waiting for input, and that and we'll identify speakers after we receive the recommendations from the other providers, and then just see what kind of feedback on that. Obviously, Khalil's perspective would, or the compliance department's perspective would be helpful. So I think that's not a bad approach. And then I guess, should we talk about, before everyone leaves, call next week? It sounds like a call, well, that's part of the problem is we're getting close to the 10th now. I'd like to have at least from the group agreement on who we should invite by end of this week so that I can send out the invitations next week. What do you guys think? You think it's possible to get this done by email?
Should
be.
Sure.
Yeah. Looks like the GNSO council meeting should be over by about 5:30 in the morning, so I'll have plenty of time.
I mean, I think we should be. We've David here, so we've got to get the WIPO and CAC comments in as soon as possible, and also see what other academics are there to see if we can get more of a balanced academic view. I don't know how long that'll take, but clearly we're under the time gun to get these emails out to everybody, because you know, a lot of these people may not actually be able to talk at that webinar on that time and that date, because we'll be saying something out a week before, won't we?
Right, and that's why I'm afraid waiting. That I don't think it makes sense to wait till next week. I think this is something we need to resolve this week.
Yeah. I agree. Well, I mean, WIPO is the biggest gap we've got at the moment, I thought, their response. So if Margie, you could concentrate on getting a response from them and then let us know what that is by email, I think we could probably give you some suggestions as to what the panel should look like.
Did I set up a survey that you guys respond to? I'm trying to think of, you know, compiling email responses from 6 or 8 people that may disagree. It makes it a little difficult to put some, you know, value to the different responses. But if I set up a survey, I might be able to at least go with whoever, you know, gets the highest viewpoints from those who participate. Does that seem like a fair approach?
I think
yeah.
So.
I mean, if you need another call, I don't know what everyone else's availability. I could do Friday of this week if we wanted to do a roundup call or a finish-up call on this at all. It's William and Kate's wedding, though, so that's a bit problematic, but seeing as I didn't get invited.
It'll be done by then. Yeah, at the same time of day, it'll be done by then.
Yeah, for me, a call is better, and Friday works fine. How about the rest of you? Does Friday seem like a reasonable time if we do it around this time?
Same time on Friday works for me. This is John.
Yes.
But that's okay.
Okay. So I'll do that. I'll send a summary, kind of an update of what happened on the call today, and then I'll set up a call for Friday at this time. And then pretty much Friday will be it. We'll decide who's going to be invited, and I'll send the invitations out on Friday after our call. All right.
Okay.
Excellent.
Good.
Thanks so much.
Great.
Thanks,
Thanks.
Everyone. We'll talk on Friday.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.